Ice Drake goes off in Boston. Is KD and Devin Booker the best duo in the NBA? And can Jimmy Butler repeat his iconic performance from Monday night? This is Hoop Talks. What is up, everybody? Welcome to Hoop Talks. Justin Pooney, Jelani Goodrich Reed, Noor Zainab is back from vacation. Jelani, yes. Missed her more than I did. I'm
glowing, ready to fight Justin on the set. Dual style, Thor's out. Let's go, Justin.
You're not the most important person of the day today.
That's a lie.
The most important person of the day today is Krina Mustafa joining us today on Hoop Talks. Krina, how are you?
Feeling very nice after that intro.
Yeah, I actually remembered your name this time.
I know.
Yeah.
Wild.
Took only three tries. Okay, yeah. No worries.
Nah, don't. Why are you spilling the beans like that? Nobody needs to know all that type of stuff. Anyway, guys, big day. A lot of stuff going on, of course, in the world of the NBA. We're going to start off with one of Noor's many teams because we know she's a resident bandwagon fan here on
versatile.
Clippers.
Sorry, don't call me.
I've never heard anybody say that about being a fan.
look.
Versatile.
Can I ask the question here?
No.
Oh my God, we're just having fun, Justin.
No, there's no fun allowed on this. It's my segment now, so it's no fun allowed. Sorry, I'm kidding. Anyway, Ice Trey the Gang went off last night. Yeah, hit him up with the thing, Jelani, right there.
It was cold.
Trey Young had 38 points last night in a 119-117 win that saved the Atlanta Hawks season. The Hawks, of course, were without DeJounte Murray, who was suspended for Game 5 after he bumped into an official and apparently threatened him and stuff like that. DeJounte, if you haven't seen on social media, was very happy.
He was
basically thinking that the truth will set you free, basically, is what he was saying. Guys, Trey Young showed you why he is a superstar. He had 5 3-pointers. He had 13 assists. He was the main man for the Atlanta Hawks. Had the crazy 3-pointer at the end of the game. So my question to you is this. Is Trey Young a superstar that you can build your franchise around? Because there have been rumors abundantly around the Atlanta Hawks that they might move off Trey Young. Krina, you are the guest. I'll let you go first.
I mean, I think he always has been a star like that. Ever since he got drafted, he is somebody you can build your team around. That stuff takes time. And I think that's something that we haven't really allowed to happen with the Hawks. We saw them like get a bit of success that one year where they made the Eastern Conference Finals. And you know what? Like, I think we're seeing it now. I think there's also some issues. We've heard some issues, you know, with their coach getting fired. Like, if that was because of Trey, there might have been some friction there. But I think overall, he's an extremely talented basketball player. He can score from anywhere. Like, his playmaking skills are pretty good. So I think he is somebody that has proven to be good.
Now, Noor, if you are the Atlanta Hawks, right, decide to keep Trey Young, or do you at least see what's out there and what you can get for him this offseason?
You keep the star. You never let go of the star. The whole point is to keep the star and then make sure that your team represent what your star is about. And I think that's what the problem is with the Hawks, because I think Trey Young is one of those guys, probably top 30 in the NBA, who can take...
Top 30? He's a little bit higher than that.
Top 20? Top 15?
I would think
he's one of the best players in the league.
Top 15? Okay, yeah. I mean, top 30 is a bit when he's playing seven. Well, yeah, top 15.
I need someone to actually make a list because everyone's like,
top
5.
Yeah, how many top 15 players? Like, it can't be 25 players in top 15.
No, there's not. Okay, but he's better than Pascal.
He's better than 30.
He's better than Pascal Siakam, that's for sure.
Why
did you say every single time?
He's such a hater.
Oh, my gosh.
We're like, what, 2 minutes in?
Generational hating.
Like 2 minutes, 30 seconds, and then finally Pascal bomb drops. It's okay. You can go a second without saying it. But as I was saying, I think it's because he's already a star, but it's just a matter of having more help around him. Yes, DeJounte Murray's there. Murray only had, though, 1.5 good seasons with the Spurs. So this is not telling you that he can help Trey Young carry a team. And even then, that's not enough. Because if you look around the league, it can't be a one-man show. It needs to be multiple guys helping you out. And that's what gets you over the hump. And I think if you're the Hawks, you keep Trey Young over everybody else. But you make sure that you're giving him the right resources, which I think a lot of teams just don't do. So putting the ball in the hands of a 5'3" guy and being like, go get us a bucket every single night.
He's not 5'3".
You know what I mean. He's pretty much.
He's making a point.
Yeah, no, I get it. I get it. Okay, thanks. Good. I got
then
it.
Then stop getting in the way of me saying it.
Anyway, Jelani, I'm going to ask you this.
Stop
laughing. We've heard a lot of stuff about Trey being really... How does the word, like, unprofessional? He's not really a great leader, right? Last night, did you see leadership qualities in Trae Young that could prove otherwise that he can be the main man in Atlanta because he fits the culture so well? You saw him come in with the Outcast hoodie.
Yo, I need that hoodie, man.
Yeah,
I need that hoodie.
Yeah,
like, seriously.
Send that to me, please.
Yeah. No, for sure. I saw qualities. Why? Because they were down, right? And you thought that this was a game where Boston was going to, you know, settle it. They're at home. Everyone's feeling nice about themselves. Let's go to the second round, play Philly. But no, they felt like, you know what? Yes, we are down in this series, down 3-1, but let's go out there and win this game. And Trae Young, he settled it down for the Atlanta Hawks, right? They followed his lead. So I do believe, yes, a lot of people talk about his character and whatnot. Where's the evidence, right? Because you could say that, yeah, Trae Young is this and that. We hear it all the time with a lot of players, right? How they're, you know, in the locker room and how they are, you know, practicing whatever, right? But there has to be evidence there. And I haven't seen anything, you know, leading me to believe that he's not a good leader of the Atlanta Hawks. Remember, as Karina brought up a couple years ago, that run as well. So I do believe Atlanta, he fits the culture, like you said. I think he's a perfect face for that team. And I like Noor's point. If you surround him with a squad, then yes, moving forward, Atlanta can be serious. So yeah, I believe in Atlanta under Trae Young's watch.
Well, look, I was a believer there'd be top four seed in the Eastern Conference before the season. It didn't pan out. And I'm grown enough to admit that I was wrong.
That's good.
But look, it was very impressive that win last night. Trae had, I think he had, 16 in the fourth quarter? Yeah, 16 points in the fourth quarter. Showed up big. Hit the big three-pointer. The one thing I do want to say about that three-pointer, though, is where was the defense? You got to press up on him.
I thought he would press up.
I thought they'd press up, but they basically let him take the shot.
Because Jalen was thinking that he was going to go to his right
exactly
a little bit more, so he was
and
leaning that way.
I would have thrown a double at him, too. But
yeah.
Anyway, let's go to the desert, where the Phoenix Suns eliminated someone's Los Angeles Clippers.
I mean, that was also your chance to say it's the desert where Nor just came from.
I was just going to, yeah.
No.
Justin's not going to think like that.
Well, no, it's kind of different because Nevada,
yeah,
right?
We're going to the valley.
It's different.
It's not. Anyway, Arizona, we're not talking about geography right now. We're talking about the geography
right
of buckets.
Right.
And we're talking about geography of buckets. Kevin Durant and Devin Booker put up mad buckets.
So we are talking about geography.
Yeah, but we're talking about the geography of buckets.
And how does that even work?
Look, just let me ask the questions.
Sorry, guys.
All right, guys? Anyway, Devin Booker at 47 points, KD at 31. They eliminated somebody's Los Angeles Clippers. 136-130, 4-1 series win, minus Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. Mm-hmm. So, Noor, I'm going to ask you this question because I know you're a big Clippers fan, like a Celtics fan, like a Raptors fan, and whoever else you're a fan of.
An NBA fan.
I'm kidding. Okay.
Liking
just,
the sport.
Just hey, let me ask the question.
The control in this one.
I know.
Is or are Kevin Durant and Devin Booker the best duo in the NBA playoffs currently?
Yeah. Like, who else is there? For sure. And you know why? It's because they're healthy. Let's keep that into consideration. What we're seeing right now happen in the NBA playoffs is a lot of people who aren't able to continue with their bodies. And I think just the fact that you've got two guys who are staying healthy, it automatically makes them good. Does that mean they're the best if everybody else is healthy? Probably not. We will see. But the fact that they had a great games and what they've been doing is fantastic. But I do want to point out the fact that, you know, I'm not saying it as a Clippers fan or anything, but they've been without Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. And that last game, they still managed to keep it very close, where I thought if anything could go down, Norman Powell could do something to make it happen. Westbrook could have a very clutch moment towards the end. So the fact that these two guys are on this team, which again, we know there's not a lot of depth beyond the four guys, but the Clippers were without their two best players and without Paul George the entire season. So probably they're one of their best defenders on the court. So that is, to me, says a lot about this Clippers team and their tenacity and their ability to go around and have the next man up mentality through Norman Powell, through Russell Westbrook, through even Zubac the other night. Like, those are great players who, if you see Kawhi healthy and Paul George, it's going to be a bad thing to go through.
Well, their season's over, so let's stick with the Suns.
I'm so rude.
That's karma for all the stuff you said to me.
Whoa. He was involved. You can't talk about karma.
It doesn't matter.
He was waiting to get that off.
She came on Hoop Talks and basically talked the most crap about me and Jelani for picking the Suns after game one. It's true.
That is true.
Yeah, okay.
She came after my guy, D-Book.
Okay, no problem. No problem whatsoever.
Speaking of D-Book.
Can't even defend myself.
Speaking of D-Book. No, go ahead. Finish your point.
No,
finish your point. It's fine.
You can't do that to me anymore. Just go. We got one more thing left.
Anyway, Karina, Devin Booker has been probably the best player on the Phoenix Suns this entire playoff series. When I look at him and I look at the hierarchy of the Phoenix Suns, I think this is his team. They go as he goes, right? Again, Kevin Durant, he can fit in any system. But for the Suns to win a championship, does Devin Booker have to be that lead dog?
Yeah, well, it is his team. I mean, you also have to take a look at the history that he's had with this team. It's also another thing to be comfortable with the system. You've been around for such a long time and you've been kind of been appointed the leader. So yeah, like it's great to have Katie on your team, who's probably one of the best basketball players of all time, but he's fitting into your system. You're not fitting into his system.
Mm-hmm. Jelani, I'm going to ask again, you answer that question I asked Karina, but I also want to get your thoughts on how Katie's looked since coming back from injury and what you've seen so far from him in the playoffs.
Yeah, so real quick. Yeah, I think it's definitely Debo's team, and I love what he's done. He stayed true to Phoenix. Remember, a lot of fans felt like he should have requested a trade or wanted out. He said, no, I'm going to build a winner here. Obviously, yes, there's some talent that came, right? But he stayed true. And as for Kevin Durant, we've seen how he's progressed after, you know, his injury and, you know, being traded. I think that he's had a good year. If you're looking across the board and just look away from the injury and the time he's missed, he's had a good year overall, and I do expect him to have a good series moving forward against the Nuggets. He's gonna obviously have to show up there, but yeah, right now they're just trying to figure things out, right? Even Booker has talked about it. They're trying to figure out how they work, because they've only played,
it's still a very new team.
It is a new team. It's a new group. They're trying to figure things out, and Monty Williams as well. I think Monty has to figure out a way to get the ball more in his hands moving forward if they want to win, right? Because it can't obviously just be D-Book. It can't be Chris, because Chris is just not the scorer anymore that he once was. Not even the playmaking. It's not at that level that it used to be. So we'll see what happens with KD, but I trust him,
though. The only concern for me at the Phoenix Suns is this. You know what you're going to get from D-Book and Kevin Durant. Look, they went combined for 78 points yesterday. Mm-hmm. The next was DeAndre. If DeAndre could chip in with 20 points and on a nightly basis, I think the Phoenix Suns are probably going to win the NBA title. They look like a very good team. Now, again, they were injuries involved, but I just think with those two guys and the baskets.
Just the depth factor to me, though. Yeah, I don't know. How can they really lost themselves? You know, they got super lucky, actually, that they only went 5 games against the Clippers. Mm-hmm. Imagine they went 7. They went 7. Now you're are you tired, but there also might be more opportunities for injuries happening. So I'd be worried going down the line when it comes down to injuries and fatigue, just because you got a bunch of people.
We will preview the Suns and Nuggets series in a couple minutes. But last thing quickly, I just want to get your thoughts on tonight's game. Miami up 3-1, going back to Milwaukee to knock out the Bucks, the number one seed. Jimmy Butler, of course, historic 56 points, 67% from the field, 37% from three-point range, 9 rebounds as well to go with that. He was absolutely electric.
Amazing.
Unbelievable performance. Can he duplicate that, or can he have a somewhat of a similar performance to knock off the Bucks in 5? Jelani, you first, quickly.
I think that it's going to be tough to duplicate that, obviously, 56 points, but I expect him to be tired. Right after all he did, especially in that second half and the fourth quarter, he's going to be tired tonight. Obviously, you're going to need him if you want to beat the Bucks on the road, but it's going to be tough.
Karina?
I think the Bucks take this one, but ultimately Miami might be able to defeat them.
Really? I think this might be a 3-1 coming from behind for the Bucks.
That's what I'm thinking too.
They agree. I am shocked. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, this is crazy.
This is Hoop Talks.
This is Hoop Talks where the amazing happens. I agreed with Noor on the Milwaukee Bucks winning in 7. What did you guys think again?
I think Miami still might be able to take it.
Okay.
Milwaukee's
going to
grab it.
I got the Bucks in the finals. I have to stick
with we'll stick with the Bucks. This has been Hoop Talks. We'll be back again on Friday.
Teams are looking to come back from down 3-1. There's problems in the Twin Cities right now, and we got a really nice matchup between the Suns and Nuggets upcoming. This is Hoop Talks.
Hold on. Before we introduce Hoop Talks right now, say the line before you introduce Hoop
Talks. Yeah, I completely forgot to say it.
Say the line. Say the line.
Let's talk about it. Yes. Okay. I said it. Sorry. Sorry. I completely forgot to say it. Welcome in. This guy's so funny. Generational hating before with Siakam and stuff like that. But welcome in to Hoop Talks. I'm Jelani Goodridge-Reed along with Noor Zainab. She's back from Vegas. Of course, we have Justin Pooney and my favorite, Karina Mustafa. Okay. Shout out to the 2000s gang.
Hold your horses.
Uh-oh.
We heard a favorite drop here.
We did.
Amongst other personnel around you. That's kind of rude.
The 2000s game.
My relationship
with the children.
with Jelani Gooderidge is something that cannot be quantified.
That is true. That is true.
Anyway, let's quantify the NBA.
Yes, let's quantify it.
We just got quantified, so
I don't know what that means, so just keep on going.
Look, today is just you know, a lot of fun talks, and guys, playoffs obviously happening right now. Some games tonight, very nice. I hope y'all watch it tonight. But there are teams that are down 3-1 right now. Why are you laughing? There are teams that are down 3-1 right now, and a team in Atlanta down 3-2. So that would be the Cavs down 3-1 against the New York Knicks. Yes, Knicks basketball, orange and blue skies. Bucks down 3-1, of course, to Miami. And we got the Grizzlies, the, you know, chatterboxes in Tennessee. They're down to the Lakers 3-1. So out of these teams, okay, and you're looking at Atlanta, of course, with that game winner by my guy, Ice Trade a Gang. Who's most likely to come back in their series? I'll start with Karina.
I think the Lakers. I don't know.
Lakers up 3-1.
The Lakers are up 3-1. Yes. Oh, yeah, that's right. Sorry. I mean, oh.
The Grizzlies. Why did I think... The Grizzlies are going to come back?
No, they're not. They're, oh, not. Okay. They're not coming back. Was it Atlanta the other choice?
Yes.
Maybe Atlanta. Atlanta. I'm a little bit worried about Boston. I don't know.
Really, Karina?
I'm sorry. Well, listen, I thought Boston would be the one to win the championship this year. I've just been a little bit worried about this series against Atlanta. They're letting Atlanta hang around for way too long.
It's true.
And for a team that's gone to the finals, like, you would expect a little bit more put togetherness, discipline on the court. But it's really tough to see because you're like, they have such a deep roster. Right? You guys know I love the Celtics. Yeah. I know how deep they go. And just seeing that happen last night with the Hawks team that had DeJounte Murray there, I was like, this is embarrassing.
And whoever wins this is facing Philly next, which I think is going to be the toughest test.
What'd you say?
The toughest test.
Hey, who was talking with Philly before the playoffs started again?
Who, you?
Yeah.
Who you?
Yeah, I can't remember.
Did you want to
give me an answer? Who you got? Who you got, Noor?
The Bucks. I think the Bucks come back. Okay. Yeah. I'm not going to knock Giannis off of anything. I think the Bucks are still a very sound, complete team. They have an experienced coach. They've gone there. They've done it, everything. And when it comes down to experience, they will tap into that. What they've been through before. And just the fact that you've got Giannis on the floor, who's going to be the best player. He's just come back from injury. Last game, I'm going to give him a second because you're still rusty. You're trying to figure out your footing, trying to figure out the game once again. But I think after that, Giannis is going to be angry. He doesn't want to go down 3-1 and be embarrassed. Right. Would Giannis ever want that? No. Absolutely not. So I think that's going to be a factor. I think there will be the team that comes up.
And to piggyback off, because I got the Bucks as well coming in 7. He was his first game back from injury and he got a triple double.
I know.
Yeah.
Like that tells you something.
Like the fact that he had 25 points and you're like, oh, it's a quiet night from Giannis.
Yeah.
You know, that's insane to me.
And look, the Bucks would have won that game if it wasn't for a Jimmy Butler masterclass.
They should have won.
They should have. Like, yeah. Brooke Lopez was hitting threes and I thought, okay, the Bucks, they got this, but Jimmy Butler just went stupid and I put up a historic performance where people are saying next to Dwayne Wade and Alonzo Mourning, he's the best Miami Heat player of all time.
Do you guys agree with that real quick? Like top three.
I think Jimmy Butler's the perfect player to represent the Heat culture. More so than, like, I think he is what the Miami Heat embody in a player. Best player in Miami history, of course, is Dwayne Wade. But then it's got to be LeBron, man. Like, what LeBron did in Miami for those 4 years, like, that's untouchable. Yeah, then you can put, LeBron, like, Alonzo Mourning, put Shaq in there, Tim Hardaway, whatever, right? But Jimmy Butler embodies what the Miami Heat exactly want to be, what Pat Riley wants this franchise to be. I'm taking them to lose this series in 7, though. I think, again, like she said, best player on planet Earth, Giannis Antetokounmpo. He's back. He's not going to. And Miami's been shooting the ball historically well from 3-point range after they were the worst 3-point shooting team in the NBA in the regular season. It's eventually going to. They're going to eventually stop hitting shots, right? And I think Milwaukee, they have. Coach Bud has to do something. He did not execute a game plan on defense at all last game.
Right.
He needs to, you know, have Drew Holiday on him or Giannis on him. Because otherwise, without Jimmy Butler, who else is going to score for the Miami Heat?
I don't know.
Nobody, right? Bam's going to give you his 15.
Maybe Strus.
Maybe. But then again, I'd rather have Max Strus beats me, I can live with that, right? I can live with that. I'm not going to let Jimmy Butler beat me again. As for the other series, Knicks in 6. at the Garden. Me and Jelani are going to be there, actually.
Yes, we will
Spike
be.
Lee sent me and Jelani tickets.
Yeah.
He's actually sitting next to Ice Spice at the game.
Oh, wow.
Are we in a dream right now? Is someone dreaming? Which one of you is dreaming?
I gotta be at Penn Station. They're vibing right now.
We're dreaming.
We might be dreaming.
Dylan Brooks is gone.
Yeah.
The King, LeBron. It put his throne down, and you know what's up. But yeah,
someone said La Mississauga.
Oh man, no way. But honestly, I'm not even mad that the Grizzlies. Like I did pick them because I wasn't somebody that trusted LeBron's teammates. I trust LeBron.
Wait, did you guys both pick the Grizzlies?
No, I did. You guys picked the Lakers.
You picked the Lakers.
But I thought because
I wanted to go with right in your face.
And
you didn't trust Austin Reeves.
Oh my gosh. I wasn't sure because the playoffs, mm-hmm. right? It's a different game. And Rui Hachimura, he stepped up. D'Angelo Russell, here and there, he's been missing shots, but then he came out huge, massive 2 3-pointers late in that game. But as for Anthony Davis, I talked about it all the time. He's got to show up, man. He has to show up. Mm-hmm. He has to be consistent. He's dealing with a hip
injury right now, too. Like,
yeah.
So he was talking with Shannon Sharp, I think, and said during the game, yo, Unc, I'm hurt.
Yeah, so I don't know. But let's move to the Suns and Nuggets, okay? So this is a matchup we know is going to happen. It's going to be proper, okay? This is a second-round matchup. So I want to know who you got in this series. I'll start with you, Justin.
Me first. Simple, Suns and six. Suns are a better team. Kevin Durant's firing all cylinders. Devin Booker's playing out of this world. I think Monty Williams is a really good coach. And again, Nikola Jokic played great in Minnesota last night. Jamal Murray had 35 points. But after that, who do I trust, right? Again, you can say the same thing with the Suns, but I just think the dynamic duo of Kevin Durant and Devin Booker right now is playing so well.
Yeah.
They'll find a way to get it done.
So, Nord, you talked about the depth or lack of depth with the Phoenix Suns. Do you think that's going to be a problem this series?
No, because same thing with the Nuggets, as Justin said, they have no depth either. And if you're also looking at the top heavy part of it, it's the Suns who are top heavy when it comes to it. So you got four guys on the Suns roster. You got KD, Booker, Chris Paul, DeAndre Ayton. Any one of them can give you 40 points any given night. Maybe not any one of them. Maybe not Chris Paul. Actually, Chris Paul on a good night probably could give you 30 points too. Yeah, he could. Look at him last night. He had a good three-pointers.
He's going to inherit the spirit of Jimmy Butler.
Yeah. No.
I think he's the kind of guy, like, he could be the X factor there, though, because he understands how to play the game. It's what he's doing the whole time. Mm-hmm. But as I said, for the Nuggets, it's just two guys. And beyond that, you're going to trust who? Caldwell Pope? Mm-hmm. Maybe Aaron Gordon? Like, not really. They're not going to be the guys to go up against the DeAndre Ayton and the Chris Pauls of the Suns. So I would have to agree with Justin.
And Karina, do you think that people are disrespecting Denver right now? They are the number one seed. They've been playing well all year, but it seems like more people are leaning Suns here.
I think I'm still leaning Suns, but maybe in 6 or 7. I don't think it'll be an easy series at all. But kind of like what Nor and Justin have been saying with the depth, I think you need Jokic to be really, really, really well in order for that Nuggets team to win. And it was still pretty close against Minnesota, so I don't know how much I trust them.
And speaking of Minnesota, real quick before we go, guys, they've just had problems. They're obviously eliminated once again. But it was their first time since 2003-04 going to consecutive playoffs. But guys, what is happening in Minnesota? And I want to know, do you move Kat right now?
Yes. Dina,
do you move Kat?
Yes.
I mean, I wouldn't want to, but they might have to.
He's owed $33 million this year, and then next year he's owed $36 million. So.
Yeah. I mean, something has to change, right? Mm. Because we keep getting excited about this team, but nothing really is coming from it. You got to figure it out.
I think it's the coaching, too. I feel like this is going to go back to Chris Finch, right? He's supposed to be an offensive coach. That's what he did for the Raptors as well. For the Raptors, you got two guys who are coaches. You had head coach Nick Nurse, who's a defensive guy, and then you had Chris Finch, who was offensively. Now you've separated both of them. And neither team is working out. And I wonder why.
Justin, real quick.
Trade Kat on the first thing smoking out of Minnesota. God. That guy plays the worst playoff basketball I've ever seen in my life. Anthony Edwards is a superstar player. Anthony Edwards is going to be one of the best players in the NBA. All defensive, all NBA. Mm-hmm. You build around that. I'm pretty sure I'd rather have Walker Kessler than Rudy Gobert. And Chris Finch has got to go. Bring Nick Nurse in as the head coach of the Minnesota team. And we will see improvements.
Well, that's about it. He dropped the mic right there. I would say trade Kat, build around Ant. Yeah, I believe that. And Gobert, I don't know why y'all dealt all those picks and all those assets
Walker
for
Kessler
Gobert.
Over Rudy Gobert.
Yikes. Gobert, you're
going but thank France. You guys for watching Hoop Talks. We will see you on Friday.
The Toronto Raptors are still looking for a head coach, and Vegas has some suggestions. This is Hoop Talks. Come in, come all. I'm Nor Zainab. Justin.
What? What the hell was that?
Come on in. Like join the room. You know, we're talking basketball. Come on in, guys.
Why are you crying?
Come on down.
Dude, I know Nick Nurse got you that emotional, man.
Yeah, this is still very rough. It's still very new here. Nick Nurse parted ways with the Raptors last week, and the Raptors still do not have a head coach. We are a chicken without a head right now.
I guess so.
That is a great analogy. I don't know.
I don't know about that analogy.
I think it works. But anyway, this guy right behind me, no longer the coach for the Toronto Raptors, but we are currently looking to see who can fill his spot. The latest name was Ime Udoka, who is now thankfully gone to the Houston Rockets. Mm-hmm. But Vegas actually has a ton of options for us, and we'll talk about all these things. We got, you know, Adrian Griffin's gonna be a promotion from within. Then you got Kenny Atkinson, Sam Cassell. I see Jerry Stackhouse. I like that one over there. Mike D'Antoni's interesting. Sam Van Gundy, I don't know about that one. We'll come back to it. But before we look into all the available coaches, or the recycling tree of whatever people want to go through whenever we talk about coaches and stuff, I want to ask you, Karina, you're here for the first time after Nick Nurse got let go, and I want to get your thoughts on this. Do you think his firing was justified from the front office?
I think it was time. I think we've kind of reached a breaking point with both the relationship between him and the players, his relationship with the front office, with the fans, with the media. I just think it wasn't working anymore. You know, when he first got promoted to head coach, he was trying all these different things, and it was new, and it was different than what the problems with Dwayne Casey was. But now it feels like he's gone into a Dwayne Casey type of mindset where he's sticking to his same thing, like heavy minutes on his starters, not really wanting to budge or play any of the young guys.
Yeah, I think so too. And you know what's interesting, as you say that, we right next to you is the Jelani Goodridge Reed, and yes, he is very vocal,
very proud.
He's very vocal, very proud, very open about the fact that he thinks Nick Nurse was very easily a scapegoat. So, Jelani, what do you have to say to that when it comes
I see what Karina's saying. Like, Nick is not innocent here. That was my point. He's not innocent. We know that there was lack of adjustments. There were problems with the systems put in place, you know, multiple games for months. We saw it, right? But I don't like the fact that Raptors fans want to sit here on Twitter, on YouTube, in the comments of IG, and say that it's Nick Nurse's fault that
Please
this happened.
Please don't read IG comments.
Yeah, it's a waste
That's
of time. It's a waste of time.
Oh.
Truly a dark place. But I think it's not his fault. It's not. Look at the roster construction. I see that the front office has gotten away with putting together this team that is just a bunch of dudes that don't mesh, right? And we need to find a way to get shooting in this building. We need to find a way to get a bench. I talked about that on previous shows. There's no bench here, obviously. So what is he going to do? How is he going to have that trust, you know, to put guys, you know, and give guys minutes if he doesn't believe in the construction of the roster? That's why I feel like the front office got away with, making him look like the bad guy in this situation.
Yeah.
It's not all Nick Nurse's fault. So that's my point here. I don't want Raptors fans thinking that it's Nick Nurse's fault that the Raptors were not good this season.
The Raptors weren't good because they don't have the right roster built, right? Nick Nurse was given, had to coach what he was given, right? And quite frankly, he wasn't given a lot, right? The Raptors this last year, the year previous, everything went right for them, right? When they were the fifth seed, like everything, health-wise, shooting-wise, offensively, it went perfect for them, right? That's when they were the fifth seed. This year, right, everything kind of, there was injuries. You know, the offense wasn't consistent. There was clearly some selfishness going on in the locker room as well. And like you said, Karina, I think it was just time for a change. 10 years in one city, especially as an NBA coach, 5 as an assistant, 5 as a head coach, it's a long time. And I think when you look at Nick Nurse and you look at it, was just time to score your separates. The messaging gets tired. We hear about all the time in football, Jelani, right? When a coach is there, unless it's Bill Belichick or one of these iconic coaches, coaches have a shelf life where their messaging needs to change. There needs to be a fresh voice because guys will tune it out. And I think Nick Nurse, great coach, Masai, great executive. They won a title, but it was just time for them to go their separate ways. And I think that's just how it has to be.
Yeah. Well, I see the part about how obviously it's a roster construction. We know that Masai and Bobby didn't really give him the right. And he's made sure to mention that time and time again in the press conferences to the media to be like, well, I'm working on what I got. This is what I've been given and I'll do what I got to do. But I have something else to say to that. Do think a little bit of bench development, no matter what you've been given, does fall on the coach, because we saw the years prior when Dwayne Casey was here. We legitimately had a bench mob because Dwayne Casey prioritized the development of the bench. And Nick Nurse, I think, was pressured to win. And because he was pressured to win, he ran the starters into the ground when it came to minutes. But that also meant that he didn't give or put the bench in the right spaces to succeed. So it doesn't mean that you give them 25 minutes on the court and say, figure something out. It means you figure out their individual factors and their individual pros and cons and figure out how does that fit in with your team. And I think that's what was not happening in the locker room.
And to piggyback off that Dwayne Casey point, remember when OG Anunoby first came in, he was guarding LeBron in the playoffs, right? Now, not successfully, but Dwayne Casey had the trust to put him out there against LeBron James, right?
Yeah.
You saw the development of Pascal Siakam, Fred VanVleet, OG, you know, Jakob Poeltl, DeLon Wright even, right? Like all these guys played under Dwayne Casey. And we saw over the years with Nick Nurse, the rotation just got shorter, 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 and shorter, where now you're basically, at league-wide, everybody knew that you're just running your starters into the ground.
Well, ever since Kyle walked, all the starters have been running into the ground. Ever since Kyle walked, the past 2 years, the Raptors have been leading the league when it comes to minutes. And again, I get why, because he doesn't trust anybody else to do it. But at the same time, you're the coach. It's your job to figure out how to get the best out of your players, not shun them on the side and say, oh, we'll see if you can play 2 minutes and on March 30th one day.
Look at Yuta as an example of who got less and less minutes the longer he was with us, and now he's thriving in Brooklyn. Like, it's just stuff like, okay, fine.
That happens all the time with the Raptors players. Like, when we move on.
You're making up a date. Happening a lot recently, too. Like, whenever you see guys go, like, we saw O'Shea walk away. We saw Stanley Johnson have big minutes for the Lakers. And it was things, I mean, Stanley Johnson was a Nick Nurse favorite. But we saw that happen for all those guys. So it's like, we know it wasn't the best bench happening for sure. But the leadership, I think that's what it is. The leadership for Nick Nurse wasn't really there. And that's kind of times it's the ego factor too. I think the egos should have been set aside if you're the coach. Like, come in and like,
and
you know?
That's, again, that's why he's not innocent here.
Yeah.
Because of the points you bring up, right? I did want to see more. Yes, I did want to see more Doughton. I did want to see more Malachi, because we've been talking about it for years. How does he fit here in Toronto? The Delano situation. So yeah, you can point out all those things, but yeah, just going back to the front office, I do think they do have to take some blame here. They have 100%. To take some blame. They cannot act like they're innocent.
The whole organization failed this year from top to bottom.
It was just, wasn't it?
From Masai to Bobby to Nick Nurse to the assistant coaching staff to the players, everybody failed.
Well, before we were going to be the flea market for everybody and maybe a team out there, we end up becoming buyers instead.
Right.
So we might be another buyer again, because we need a new coach on this team. And there's a couple as I mentioned, that are currently in the running, in Adrian Griffin, who could be promoted from within. There was Ime Udoka, who now is going to be with the Rockets. But there's a couple other names that I see right now that Vegas thinks could be a good shot at landing the next coaching position for the Raptors. So out of all of them, Karina, anyone that you would want to see coach this team?
Give me Jerry Stackhouse at +800.
Yeah, Tar Heel.
My other choice probably would be Kenny Atkinson, but I'm not sure how willing he would be to take the job here. I think that's also a factor you have to take into consideration, how many of these coaches would actually want to move here and like actually deal with whatever is coming their way in terms of roster construction and rebuilding whatever they plan to do. Honestly, like, if you look, Mark Jackson and Stan Van Gundy should not be on that list.
Why?
No.
Mark Jackson built the Warriors.
No.
I actually would take Mark Jackson or Sam Cassell, my two favorites. Sam Cassell's been a Doc River assistant for years now. He knows the game. He's been a former player, so he can relate to players in the locker room, right? People respect him. He's an NBA champion, coach, and player. Mark Jackson is a former Toronto Raptor. He's one of the greatest point guards of all time. He built the Golden State Warriors and allowed Steph Curry and Klay Thompson to do what they do. And they bring cachet. They bring name base behind it. And I think for the Toronto Raptors, who are not a hotbed free agent destination, having a coach like that who has some pull alongside a guy like Masai Ujiri, who clearly does have pull, that just makes Toronto more of an attractive market for players to want to come and play. I would go with a big name here. I think that right there, look, I don't think Jerry Stackhouse has ties to the Raptors, but he's in Vanderbilt right now, has full control of the whole college program. I don't know if you want to give that up. Right? Mm-hmm. Mike D'Antoni should not be coaching the league again.
I don't know why.
You know what you're going to get with him. Kenny Atkinson, again, does he want to leave Golden State? Does he want to leave?
What about Vogel? Because people have been talking about Vogel.
See, Vogel's a defensive coach, right? Masai's talked a lot about offense and shooting, right? I don't think Frank
Vogel... Yeah, but they also need to bring defense.
I could see
it. The foundation is still a defensive team and a defensive franchise.
I think the one thing we can hopefully all agree on is I don't really want to see Adrian Griffin be the head coach. No discredit to him, right? I just think the Raptors need a new fresh
voice. We are not promoting
voice.
From within. Yeah. There's no promotions from within happening.
I think that's the most likely option. Obviously, you see the list. He's number one. Mm-hmm. I would not be surprised at all if it's Griffin. I think he's capable of being a head coach. I would look at Atkinson. That would be my favorite. I think, you know, with what he's done, he's been around the league this last decade with like LA, Golden State. He's been in Atlanta with New York as an assistant. So he has the experience there and head coached the Brooklyn Nets. Remember, they did go to that playoffs, that fun team in 2019. So I think he's capable of being a very good head coach, could bring in, you know, a new flavor to Toronto. And obviously, he also he did get hired by the Hornets. He did turn it down for Golden State. I would too. But yeah, I think that would be a good option. I also would look at Jerry Stackhouse, not because I'm a North Carolina Tar Heel fan, but I just think that could work out. But obviously, you bring up the Vanderbilt point.
Yeah.
But I think that
if the money's right, the money's right.
All right, so we saw Karina go 800 for Jerry Stackhouse. We saw Justin go 1,500 for Mark Jackson, and then Jelani settled at a nice.
Didn't you say Sam?
I said Sam.
Plus 350.
I think either Sam or Cassell. If I was to pick Sam Cassell.
Sam Cassell. Yeah. Okay, well, whatever. Yeah, we'll see. If Masai, Bobby, whoever's listening, we got some ideas. So does Vegas, apparently. And there's a couple of names on that roster. The Raptors are about to have one of the craziest off seasons, starting with the hiring of a new head coach. So stick around for next time. We'll be back on Friday. Take care.